your ice cream from last week?
No, it's gone.
Oh, man.
We fed it to our friends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was like, here, try this stuff that we made. And they're like, cool. Why is it liquid?
We're like, drink up?
Yum, yum, yum. Thompson's like, if you cover the vanilla one with the chocolate one, it doesn't taste bad.
Thompson.
I was like, Thompson, that's so mean.
Welcome to Sibling Scribbles, a sibling podcast for the creative process. My name is John.
And I'm Merritt.
I was re-listening to one of the episodes and you just go, and I'm Harry Styles.
I don't know.
I wanted to ask you about it.
And I'm Harry Styles. Oh, I actually know that. Why I said that.
Please enlighten me.
Okay. So I had this roommate freshman year and she was roommates with one of my best friends before we switched rooms around and then we were roommates. And she would every night before she went to bed when they first started living together, she was like, hey, do you mind if I listen to, you know, like sleep noises? And my best friend's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I don't mind expecting like white noise,
birds or chirping,
like, you know, rain or the ocean waves. And she puts on Harry Styles Go to Sleep sounds, right?
Harry Styles ASMR.
Basically. And it starts out with it. We used to have it memorized and it was so funny. But, and we would say it simultaneously. You know us.
Yeah,
But it went like, hi, I'm Harry Styles. Tonight, I'm going to help you drift off to sleep with my soothing voice and relaxing sounds.
No.
And it would like play like relaxing music. And then he'd come in and be like, you've done so good today.
No.
You are a good person. And my friend was like laying awake. After like a week though, she was like, honestly, it works, but at what cost?
Can you imagine like being in the middle of a dream? Right, you're in the middle of a dream, you're at Walmart, your dad is hunting you for sport, right?
Right.
You're wearing an Austinian dress, like a Jane Austen dress, and you're running at the top speed down the cookie aisle, and then Harry Styles is at the end of the aisle and he goes, you're worth it. You've been good today. You deserve to sleep. You deserve to rest.
No, thank you. That's a no for me, love.
Oh, shoot. We're supposed to do a podcast. Today, we're talking about... I want to pivot just a little bit.
Okay. From Harry Styles?
Yeah. Just a small pivot. I want to talk about story seeds.
Okay.
Story seeds are... And connected to story seeds, pitches.
Yeah.
Because story seeds are just the ideas that you have that are not really connected to anything else.
Yeah.
And that you can put together to create a story. And then I kind of wanted to talk about pitches as well, right? We talked about that.
Right.
And then I changed things right now because I felt like it.
Okay.
So, story seeds. Let me kind of just... There's a lot of videos of you on your laptop. What on earth?
It's ASL. We had to do ASL videos.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. For the everybody audience, Maren opens up her Google Drive and it's just like a dozen videos of her staring into the camera with dead eyes. Just no. Like, I have to friggin' sign this final right now.
Yeah. Look how good my hair was. Ooh, la la.
It's good. No, it looks great. A story seed is an idea that it's either a setting, it is a character, or it is a conflict.
Yeah.
We talked about this really briefly, I think, in our first episode, where we talked about how you need all those things for a story. Well, sometimes you have these ideas independently, and you can kind of mash them together to create a little jambalaya of a story. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
I'm feeling jambalaya today.
Cajun.
It's from the South. It's Cajun.
Oh, gosh. Cayun.
Cayun. It's Cayun.
Jambalaya.
We're having a rough day. We need you to understand that.
It's all right.
I'm hoping to cut most of this.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about story pitches and story seeds. We kind of went into this as well with our, I think it was episode 5. It was the one before Creative Corner, where we essentially looked around the room and just chose some things, and we turned those into a story about...
It was the episode right before Creative Corner.
Yeah, so episode 5.
Yeah.
We looked around the room and we just said, look, there's an axe up there. There's ancient Rome and there's a Mothman. So we came up with the Mothia. All right. That was our idea.
So the Mothia.
Honestly, pretty fun idea for a story.
So funny.
It's not the best way to do it. We're not saying that you should go out and get tarot cards and just go, there's a kid in a place doing a thing. Right. That's a horrible way to do this. But... But you can, right? But you can. You can do that.
That's so funny. Sorry, I'm looking through my stuff to find my pitches. Where are my pitches at?
You hesitated too. You thought about it.
I was like, I want to say it so bad.
Where my pitches at?
Where my pitches at?
Careful. Careful.
Can't mind them, so I just have to summon them to my brain.
Oh, okay. I have notes in my phone. I have a notes app, and I will write down any of these ideas, any idea, even if it's just like a joke or just a line. I'll write down the ideas on my notes app, and I just have all these. Like eventually, my notes apps get so full they stop recording them, so I have to start new notes. And so, I have just tons and tons of wacky ideas. Today, we're gonna go through some of these ideas, and we're gonna talk about whether or not they suck. And I mean, most of them are going to suck. They're by themselves. They need context.
We're just going
to
go through notes today.
we're going to go through notes. I know this doesn't sound like it's a good podcasting concept, but listen, just hang on. This will be fun.
Okay. You start.
Number one, Diesel 10 thirst trap. Now you might think this is a bad idea, but actually...
This was actually a health advisement video.
It's a mental health. Like, get some help.
Get help. Don't watch Diesel 10 Thirst Trap.
I actually have written down any of these ideas. Any idea that I have. I have a depressed cowboy who every time he tries to tie a lasso, he ties a noose instead. Right? That's just...
It just seems like a weird poem.
Right? It sounds like a Muppet skit, right? Is what it sounds like.
Muppet skit.
Really morbid Muppet skit. But the 70s were a different time.
Gonzo could pull it off.
Gonzo was going through some crap. I have the Circus of Life, right? The Circle of Life parody. Just any idea at all.
Okay.
And the reason I do this is because all of your ideas, all ideas are important. All ideas are good, right? They're not going to, you know, they're not going to turn into something wonderful.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just nice to have those ideas on hand. Mm-hmm. But when you do this, when you write down these ideas, you're actually training your brain. And you're training it to come up with more creative ideas. You're training it to make connections and to hang on to the good ones. I had David Lynch. David Lynch said, like, you know, ideas are like fish. And if you sit really, really still, one of them swims by you and you grab it. And it's like, that's terrifying, David, but okay.
Okay, Schmeagle.
Jeez. But he's not entirely wrong, right? I, the way I imagine it is that you're like diving, you're doing like a scuba dive for treasure, right? Mm-hmm. And so first you scuba dive in kind of shallower water. And then eventually you learn how to scuba dive deeper and deeper until you're in underwater caverns finding treasure, right? And or hunting cool, awesome fish or monsters. And that's where the good stuff is. Mm. But you need to get used to this. You need to be able to wake up in the middle of the night with an insane idea, write it all down and go back to sleep and just train your brain to spontaneously dive into that water without you and come back out with something tasty.
I feel like when I have woken up in the middle of the night and written down my dreams, it's turned out really weird. When I wake up the next morning, I actually do have... I do have that.
Hit me.
All right, let's see here. It's called Dream Notes.
Okay. I have just the word sales department, but the sales is spelled S-A-I-L-S, like a sailboat, right? Just sales department. That's it. That counts. That counts as an idea. That's important.
Okay. I don't actually know what this says. I haven't read it. This is from...
Just do it.
The third...
For
sixth,
the content.
What's 6th? Is that July?
It better be. No, it's June.
June?
It better
June,
be.
June 13th, 2023. I'm stuck in a group's dance competition where the judges are this group of aliens and Ben Shapiro. Everyone else knows the dance except for me. So they have to hide it. Mom and dad and all my siblings come to watch. At the end, my group didn't get eliminated by death, so we won. I go over to my family, and Haley is in the middle of labor. The baby's fist comes out first and grabs my hair, but only a chunk that happens to be the same color as Haley's.
Oh, what the crap.
The baby's already giggling and smiling after some nursing and is very, very cute. John and Haley sell all their belongings and buy a giant, shiny red RV and say they're off to see places they have never seen and probably don't want to see. We all wave goodbye.
Oh, that is not great at illustrating my point. Oh, no.
So, John, defend yourself.
Right. Sometimes you got to see things you don't want to see. just the hand shooting out and grabbing. It's a horror movie. I love how Ben Shapiro is just on this panel of judges and then never appears for the rest of the dream.
We didn't get eliminated by death. Straight to Haley in labor.
Oh, my gosh.
So, why should we write down every idea?
Okay. Well, first of all, to bring it to therapy, right? You need some kind of evidence. No one would believe you if you hadn't written this back in June. That's amazing. Okay. No, I stand by it. First of all, when you write those things down, you do get better at remembering your dreams. And you are able to lucid dream.
I don't remember that.
But it is that once again, by writing these things down, you are training your brain to remember. The whole point of it is that these ideas are slippery and slimy and they're going to slide right out of your hands. So you're training your brain to get better at catching them. That idea is insane. Okay. Story seed wise, there is only one fun idea in there. And I'll let you decide what that is, listening audience.
We're off to see places that we've never seen before and probably don't want to.
I like how I say the first half and Haley says the second half and probably don't want to. Goodbye. I want to make it clear, though, as well. In June, Roy had not been born yet, right? So this dream was just your deepest fears manifesting. Just I don't want Ben Shapiro to judge me, and I don't want John and Haley to leave.
Or to have a mutant baby?
Or have a mutant baby that's trying to kill you. I have written down the Bachelor parody show, where it slowly becomes a thriller as you realize that the show host is pulling all the strings.
Hmm.
Right.
See, that's an actual idea.
See, yeah, that's a real idea. But that's an idea that comes after writing down a lot of ideas, mm-hmm. right? That comes around after writing down a lot of dreams, is that you write down enough of these things and eventually you have a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the episode. Thank you so much for listening. we did this in 13 minutes flat. Thanks for listening to our special episode.
Let's see here. What else is in here?
So... I have written down Santa Claus is a god of desire, restraint, and obedience. I have the easiest personal problems to solve are other people's. the reason that you do this, let me throw an idea at you, is something like Percy Jackson, right? Something like Percy Jackson is just a few ideas that are...
That was really loud.
It's a few ideas that are kind of just mixed up in a pot, right? It's road trip, or it's an epic quest mm-hmm. in modern day mm-hmm. with Greek mythology, right?
Yeah.
Pretty simple mix of ideas. But then you take something like Avatar the Last Airbender, and you have the Avatar, which comes from Hindu mythology. You have the four elements that comes from the Greek thought, right? You have... the Fire Nation, which is highly imperialistic. You have the
international combat.
Yeah, yeah. Things. Combat? You mean war? I believe you mean war.
No, combat. The fighting styles.
Oh, right. The bending is all based on different things. Mm-hmm. All of those are small ideas that were all kind of mushed together to create something interesting. So how do you come up with ideas that synergize? Right? How do you take two ideas and say, these two are going to work together? Right? Because there's a lot of stories, I feel, where they try to synergize a handful of ideas mm-hmm. and they don't really, right?
The first thing that comes to my mind is you have to really buckle down on your ideas. Like, you, one, have to keep them to a minimum. You can't bring too much into it.
Right.
Like, it has to really be really specific. And then you have to decide, okay, now I'm just going to research the crap out of these. And we're going to, like, completely go all out in them. Instead of, I don't know, like pulling something out of your butthole at the last second and being like, oh, and then this character was actually the bad guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't. That doesn't follow traditional storybook bad guys.
But I see what you're saying, though, right? Is that when you do have the ideas that you want, you kind of need to commit to them.
Mm-hmm.
This ideating process, this ideating part of the game, right, that we're playing of creativity,
mm-hmm.
it needs to end at some point.
You have to keep it in scope. A lot of times my teachers, they always are talking about making a project that's in scope for what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're like, okay, this is a semester long project, or this is a 2-week project. You need to work on it as hard as the time that we are giving you
allows to
do it.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like when you're making something, you have to keep it in scope instead of being like, oh, this could be like a, you know, like a 5-season TV show. You're like, no.
Don't do that.
This is, you know, a 90-minute movie.
Right.
That's all we have. Or like, right. This is an 8-episode show, not a 90-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our budget is, you know, not as high as a feature film or something like that.
Look, I like being open to a lot of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up looking into a lot of projects that I never actually do anything about. Because right. Not because I don't want to, but because I don't have the time to.
Mm-hmm.
Or because I've committed to other things.
Right.
So I've looked a lot into game design. I thought, you know, I love video games.
Mm-hmm.
It looks interesting to me. Coding looks like an absolute nightmare. I don't really think that's for me. But I have looked into it a lot. And the number one piece of advice that they always give new game designers is start with a baby game. Start with something so unreasonably simple that you can do it on your own, and you can knock it out in like a month,
mm-hmm.
or knock it out in like a year.
Because there was a moment where we wanted to make Bales into a little Earthbound game.
You had talked about it, yeah.
I thought that would be so sick.
I've put a lot of thought into that. I think you're right. Like, at first I was like, Earthbound's not a great like game for that. But the more I've thought about it, I'm like, actually, like,
it's so perfect.
It kind of is.
Bales doesn't talk much. So, I mean, she's like a perfect
like silent protagonist.
Layered in half.
And she has like the little sheep following her around. Mm. And there's tons to do in like all the different places. Like, it's a really like vibrant world.
And she could fight monsters.
Right. And there's random encounters and things. So cool. It is like a perfect little connection there. Of course, we didn't start that project. Go ahead.
Go read Chipper Called Bales at chippercalledbales.com.
Messed it up twice. We're having a day.
Because originally it wasn't Shepherd Called Bales. It was a shepherd named Bales.
But then
her name isn't Bales, though.
Right. And so her name is, yeah. So
she's called Bales.
She's called Bales. Shepherd Called Bales.
I tried.
We got there.
I just drew the pictures around here.
You sound like Helena Bonham Carter from Les Mis. I just draw the pictures, Randy. But you're supposed to start with a small project.
Mm-hmm.
When you start writing, don't start with your epic fantasy book that you've always dreamed of writing. Some people have done it. Some people do a great job. Cool. Start with some short stories. Like, really, see what you can do in 1,000 words. See what you can do in 5,000 words. Mm-hmm. See what you can do with 10,000 words. But don't go trying to write a whole novel right away. You need to understand kind of the building blocks that create the overall story.
And even if you do start with something that's a really big project, like, I've done some projects where, you know, it's like painting an entire, you know, this huge thing. It took like 20 hours painting, kind of a thing.
Yikes.
For digital painting, that's a long time. For, yeah. for real painting, that's kind of the start. But but in the process, I learned so much that once I got to the end, I was like, I could probably do this entire thing over again in like 8 hours.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, you could go for the big project, but from people who have tried the big project thing and then they go down to the little projects, you should just start with the little project. Like, don't get over your head. It's fun yeah. and exciting, but it will be bad.
Right. Look, let's just rip the Band-Aid off right now. Your first stuff is going to suck.
Yeah, it's always
bad. Your first stuff is going to suck for a while, right? That's not a bad thing. I just want to point that out. It's not a bad thing for things to suck for a while, okay? Be proud of the stuff that you made that never saw the light of day, that never got published, that never, you know, got a billion likes. Your stuff is going to suck for a while because sucking at something.
I was about to say it. Ahead, I was waiting for your breath break.
You say my breath break? Go ahead. Say the thing.
Sucking at something is the first step at becoming kind of good at something.
Jake the dog. It's true. You are going. Just as a general rule, maybe suck at some things that are small at the start. Mm-hmm. Make a small video game, right? There are tons of like game jams. This is actually something I really like about creative communities.
Mm-hmm.
They have these things like game jams where you make a game over the course of a month, or they have writing contests or writing groups where everyone has to write with the same prompt for a month. Mm-hmm. They have drawing stuff.
Inktober and Mermaid. They've got February. They've got. I don't know. Judai?
I'm saying nope, don't up. Say that. Don't say that. I don't think you can say that.
July?
You literally said Judai.
Oh, that's so bad. Do not participate in
Judai. Shut up.
Oh, that's so bad. It's over.
We didn't even make it to 10 episodes.
I renounce everything I've ever said ever.
She's a new woman.
Hello, person. My name is now Saren.
Give yourself a new first letter of the name.
I'm a new person. New woman. That was terrible.
Here's a story idea that I don't know if I'm going to actually write this one because it's pretty friggin' dark. But this was a few ideas that I had that kind of got mushed together that created something cool. This is called The Nest. And this pitch, right? This is what happens. So you have a few of these ideas and you take these ideas and you ram them into the little, you know, cookie cutter together.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes your story. The Nest was an idea that I had where, due to declining fertility rate in men and women, women who are fertile are called birthers, right? And they get moved to this facility, right, this campus.
Oh, is this your incubation baby and you water it?
No, it's not. It's not. I wanted to introduce ideas like that. It was a fun idea. Could you imagine? Okay.
Oh my gosh.
This was one of the ideas that inspired us.
When Haley was pregnant, John like pitched this idea to me like 4 times with different people in the room. So they were like, oh, interesting. And I was like, it's still a bad idea.
It's a great idea. Could you imagine artificial womb, right? But it's like the size of a trash can, right? So it's about, you know, like yay big.
Womb sized,
yeah.
If you will.
It's about like 1/100th of a football field. It's about
7 bananas.
7 bananas, yeah. About 8 Big Macs. The idea is that you can, like, once you're able to, you know, get an embryo, you can implant it in this artificial womb, and then all you have to do is like feed it, right? So you'd say things like, oh honey, did you water the baby, right? Like, it'd be funny. I just thought that was a funny idea. But
no.
Okay. See, that was the idea. That was the seed. And the seed evolved. Mm-hmm. And it no longer is that idea.
This is called workshopping.
Is that I kicked that idea around. I got a lot of reactions like that.
Hey, honey, did you water the baby?
I think it's funny. But the idea was that is that they were is that when with so such a small fertility rate, mm-hmm. you have these women in these centers in the nest, and yep. they would just be impregnated over and over and over again. But because they don't want it to be like the natural way, because that would be cruel, it's all done through like IVF. Right, because that was something that Haley and I were experiencing. That's something we were going through.
So,
I was thinking about it a lot.
Like The Handmaid's Tale?
Yes, except
everyone brings that up all the time.
Everyone brings it up a lot. I don't know enough about it to say anything.
I know enough about it to roll my eyes.
The idea is though, is that it is like because these people are so valuable, it is a prison. Right. So these women are, but that's the thing is that because.
Is it a pampered prison?
It is.
Okay.
It's like a paradise prison. So everything is like, you know, a soft beige and they're playing like.
Pregnant
like
friendly.
Music. Yeah. It's like, it's just the birthing ward of a hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And everybody is slowly losing their mind, like getting like, you know, they're slowly losing their minds there because they're all just these women who are just.
They're always pregnant.
They're always pregnant. Constantly. Right. And the idea was is that this society, it wouldn't be, I originally imagined it more of like a 1984 society.
Okay.
The idea was that a doctor would show up and this doctor would be there, not just to perform the kind of the surgeries and everything, but they're also there and they realize, hey, I'm going to try to bring like life back into this place. But the more that they do that and the happier they make people, the more hope they give people, the more dangerous it becomes, right? The more they think of leaving, the more they think of going and finding their children. Until eventually, you know, the doctor gets killed by the government and all the women revolt, right? You know, that kind of story. That was the pitch. The pitch was 100 pregnant women in this hospital ward. Campus.
That's kind of fun, actually, though.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Because it's a really contained story. Mm-hmm. And you could have, you know, your main cast of pregnant ladies who are all besties.
Yes.
Right?
You could have the new ladies showing up. They just found out she's hyperfertile. Uh-huh. And now they have, like, you know, the old ladies who are like, I've had 16 kids.
Right. Wait, do you have a chosen one? The most fertile of the fertile.
What's
the,
no.
Because they're always one of those.
No.
You know, in dystopian things.
No, this is not a dystopian romance, okay?
She's the Mockingjay.
She's the Mockingjay. She only has octuplets. But the idea was that eventually when they do like find in the basement that they are trying to, you know, in the basement they have like facilities where they're testing stuff.
Are they cloning babies?
They do find like the baby pods that I was talking about. Mm. And it's really kind of freaky because it's not working. It's just kind of like
making freaky
like,
babies.
It's kind of hellish and like awful. But they're trying to replace these women. Like it's become such a necessity in the society.
That to have people.
To have more people, to have more workers, to have more... everybody that was kind of the idea that so see once again like I took that seed, it was a bad seed, I tossed it out, I made cool. something else, and then I looked in the compost pile and was like, hey, that seed actually grew something cool.
That's
and
cool.
I included that seed back in later in the story.
That's cool. I like it.
It's a fun one. I don't know if I'll ever do it.
I love the idea. I don't know, because I can see this as a live action, you know, or like a good old novel, like a good novel.
Yeah, a good 90,000 words.
But but my favorite part of it is just imagining a full cast of pregnant people, you know,
yeah.
like that.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like pregnant ladies are kind of looked down on. Like they're like, oh, the pregnant lady.
A little bit. Yeah.
In the movies. And you're like, what? No, pregnant ladies are really tough.
They're awesome. Pregnancy is wild. Let me tell you something. I was not ready for it.
You were the one pregnant.
Yeah, I had like a, let me tell you, I was not prepared emotionally.
Oh gosh.
It was awesome. It was so mm-hmm. cool. I was not prepared at all for it. Like Haley would say, oh, this thing is happening to my body. And I'd be like, what? And she's like, that's super normal. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I just shed all of my skin. So like.
I started telling jokes. I told Sam. Sam was like, hey, how's the pregnancy going? How's all that going? I was like, it's pretty good. I mean, nothing too bad. Like, you know, the appetite's kind of low, but Besides that, I mean, really the hardest part is the night terrors. Haley will start speaking in tongues in the middle of the night, start levitating off of the bed, and, you know, wind starts blowing in the room. I just kind of like bat her with a broom until she comes back down. Sam, like, actually, like, it took him a minute in the middle of that sentence to be like, oh, you're messing with me. Like, because we're not told anything about pregnancy in high school or even in college. Like, health class doesn't even touch on pregnancy, and much less birth. Heaven's sakes, no one talks about birth. I didn't know what an episiotomy is. Don't look it up. That's terrifying. But it was don't do it. I warned you, listening audience. Maren's looking it up. Okay, don't worry. She can't type. Oh, I forgot Maren's illiterate. We're fine.
The action that's or process of appeasement. Appeasing.
That's not what it is. That is not even close to what it is. Listen, but my point,
Maren. Appeasimony. Appeasimony.
The point was that I've been to so many of these fertility clinics and so many of these hospitals, and they always have like live, laugh, love in cursive on the wall. But it's like, this is the most like terrifying experience I've ever had in my life, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is invasive and scary and yet also incredibly hopeful and beautiful and like overwhelmingly exciting.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be a fun story. I did not do anything with that story because I am a man. I have gone through a single pregnancy with Haley, and I wasn't even the one pregnant. So I was like, this would be a fun story to write, but I would do a crap job of telling it.
Yeah.
I admitted it.
I think you would, you know, I think it's a really fun story, though.
It's a fun one.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Two out of four.
Oh, okay. You're four thumbs up. Forget that we do that.
Okay. I remembered a pitch that I had.
Hit me.
So we kind of talked about this together, actually. So you were familiar with this one. But we were talking about how Disney does remakes for things where they take classic stories, they give them a little new coat of paint, they take the killing out of it, and then boom, Ariel, right?
Yeah. So that's a great pitch meeting. Guys like, take the killing out, new coat of paint, boom, Ariel. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah. So we were talking about that, and then we're like, okay, what other stories are there? And then we had this idea, and I thought this one was pretty cool. Frosty the Snowman. But Frosty the Snowman is actually a lich. So think about the lyrics to Frosty the Snowman. And if you twist them in, I don't know, kind of a D&D-esque way.
I swear this is a meme. I swear I've seen this meme online.
I don't know, but I just thought it was so good.
Frosh the Snowman was a happy, happy soul with a corncob pipe and a button nose, two eyes made of coal.
Right. So it's like he has burning eyes, right?
Made out of coal.
So they're on fire. He has a hat, which is kind of the...
It's a phylactery.
Right. So it's the thing that you must destroy or use to summon him. And then the kids were singing and dancing.
That's
I think
they were
the
singing.
Lyrics.
They were dancing in a circle around him. Yeah. No, right. It was a dark...
A cult?
Yeah.
Summoning Frosty.
This is not your Disney twist the story.
I know, but you're taking old stories, give them a different coat of paint, add a little killing.
Tell them about... Add a little killing. Frosty. That's not what we said. Tell them about Neverworld. For heaven's sake, tell them about Neverworld.
Well, I guess that was fine, too.
Good grief.
Okay, Neverworld pitch. So everyone loves Peter Pan. I love Peter Pan more.
It's true. No, we performed a study. Maren does like it more.
90% of Marins love Peter Pan more than the rest of people.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay. So Neverworld is a pitch of Peter Pan, except that it is in a theme park instead of it being on an island. So originally, Peter Pan, written by Barry. Oh my gosh.
We can just call him Barry. Barry, short for Blue Barry. Peter Pan.
It's written by James.
The thing is, a James. J.M. Barrie.
J.M. Barrie.
Oh, last name Barrie.
Yeah. So, originally, a lot of people speculated that Peter Pan was kind of this soul who would come and get the souls of dead children, and he would bring them to Neverland, right?
Right.
And Neverland would be kind of like this heaven for children. Some people would be like an eternal hell kind of a situation, because you never find peace for your soul.
That's right.
And you have to try and escape it. But I kind of took those ideas and combined them together and be like, okay, what if Peter Pan was a bad person? What if...
Oh, what if this is... What if Peter... This... Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just stutter right into the conversation and stutter right out of the conversation.
I didn't even stick to the takeoff. I exploded in the hangar. You go ahead. Peter Pan's a bad person.
Peter Pan is a bad person. And so I was like, okay, Peter, he... lived, he's kind of in a gang, he's not really a stand-up kind of guy, and he ends up doing lots of bad stuff in his life, and he gets up in kind of like a gang battle and gets shot and he dies.
The end.
He shows up at the gates of heaven and he's like, hi, you know, I'm here, I'm dead, right? And there's an angel standing there, and she's like, hey, actually, you're not allowed into heaven because you did a lot of bad things. And hell doesn't really want you either because they're really conflicted. So
Hell's going through some stuff right now.
So what we're going to do is you need to be make up for the sins of your life, which, you know, doesn't really, isn't really adjacent with Christian belief, but. So what we're going to do is we're going to task you with the souls of dead children, but they were innocent. So he gets sent back down to the place where the last battle goes down.
Right, which is now a decrepit theme park.
Which is, this broken down theme park that was kind of destroyed in the gang warfare. And he's trapped there until he gets all of these kids to feel the one thing that makes them most joyful. And then they ascend up to heaven and have their peace.
I think that's a pretty good spot to stop, because I do really like, we've done a ton of work on this one. I'm really excited to do more work on it.
That's so good.
And I think that like the stuff that you've talked about isn't even the good part. I really do think the stuff that we've come up with is better than just that pitch. But that is a lot of fun idea, like fun story seeds, right? We've taken Peter Pan as a character.
Right.
And we've changed that. We've twisted that DNA a little bit.
Instead of just being like mischievous, he... actually cause a lot of damage.
Right, yeah. or and then you've taken the setting of Neverland and you took kind of a play on words. You, instead of like Disneyland, Disney World, it's Neverland, Never World, right? Play on the setting. And then you a new play on the conflict as well, because in Peter Pan, Peter is not actually the main character. It is Mary John Michael. Or sorry, Wendy John Michael. Mary John Joseph James.
Martha.
It is.
Peter.
I missed the one.
Judas.
I missed the one character who's actually the protagonist. Wendy is the main character. Yeah. Wendy's the main character. And so turning Peter into the main character changes the conflict as well. It changes the conflict to be a very internal conflict.
Instead of having Wendy change kind of throughout the story, we have Peter changing throughout the story. And
right.
Wendy's kind of the stagnant character, and, you know.
That's fine, by the way.
Helping, you know, but we're switching roles of characters, which changes the story a lot.
Stagnant character, the word stagnant has such a horrible connotation, but I want to tangent really quickly to say that, like, Ariel in The Little Mermaid is a stagnant character, but she's an excellent character.
That's true.
The character who actually experiences change is King Triton. Right, he's the one who decides, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to miss her so much, right? And that's the big change in his heart.
Not even the prince changes, or Ursula.
No, because the story is about the beauty of youth and the beauty of love and the beauty of hope, and that those things change the future, right? That's kind of the point of the story. But those characters don't change. The same thing goes for something like Fruits Basket, right? Great anime. Fruits Basket is an amazing example.
I love it.
Can you stop that?
You stop that.
I've seen it 3 times.
Whoa, you should talk to Haley more about it. Haley's watched it as much as you have.
I love it so much.
Haley got me to watch Fruits Basket. Fruits Basket is a anime, 3 seasons long. It got a single season back in the 90s and then it got a remake just recently.
Which is much better and much prettier.
The remake is great. Haley got me to watch it while we were dating. She's like, this is my favorite show and it's getting remade. And I watched it and I was like, this is some girly crap and I don't care for it. And then it got to the second season. You know the episode I'm talking about. It gets to this episode with Kyo, with Kyo's true form. And then I was like, oh, hang on. Are these guys actually going? Are they going somewhere? Is this building towards something?
Is this a thing?
Is this something I like? and it's the hair pull.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, no.
But it's a great show because the main character of Toru Honda, Toru doesn't actually change. It is the goodness in Toru that changes everyone around her. And it is very much a Beauty and the Beast story, right? Where the goodness of the main character, of Nausicaa, of Toru, of Belle, the changes for these characters happen around them. They are just a black hole of happiness and goodness.
Right.
And them just being around inspires the people around them to change.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of like the female fantasy a little bit of being like, I was so... You're so kind, so good. We talked about this in Jordan Peterson, but like, you know.
We did. I just edited that episode.
No. He's so, you know, just beautiful and kind that you literally changed the monster into a man.
Yeah.
A conveniently good looking man.
Very conveniently. It's a good thing you can tell how they look before they change.
And if they're not going to be cute when they turn into a man... Don't change him.
Another great example of that is Hello Dolly, right? Hello Dolly. They start the movie with the, oh, yes, it takes a woman, a dainty woman, to clean the toilet, right? Like that,
oh,
that is the song.
So good.
But Dolly is just this force of nature that bends people's will around her to be honorable and try their hardest and like do good.
I have a question. I'm watching Parks and Rec right now.
Yeah.
Is Leslie Knope that character? Because she inspires everyone. Because she changes and stuff. But, like, I feel like she just kind of chills out a little bit. You know?
Yes.
She's not as embarrassing.
Leslie Knope certainly matures as a character.
Yeah.
But at the heart of her character, yes, that is her archetype. And it is what she does. She does, people get better jobs. People get married. People, like Leslie Knope. As
like a park is actually made.
Yes.
After 5 seasons.
As obnoxious as she is, she does actually change the world for the better just by her force of will and her determination to do so.
I love her.
She's a great character. She's a great character. I do not like her actress. I do not like Tina Fey. I don't like the actress at all. But Tina Fey and Amy Pollard are like best friends and they've done tons of projects together.
Tina Fey and?
I don't know that, but Tina Fey. No, no, no. You don't know who Tina Fey is?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This. Tina Fey and Amy Pollard are like best friends. They did SNL together.
Who is this? She's not in.
She's not in Parks and Rec.
Oh, I was like,
Tina Fey
does not play Anne.
Sorry, but like up until Parks and Rec, these two were inseparable. These two were inseparable.
Mean See, Girls, like, Sisters,
right.
Megamind.
It's all this crap they did together.
Date Night.
Wow. Not a fan of them. Because like they
Baby
were
Mama.
Essentially an item for a while. But I love Amy Pollard in Parks and Rec because she does kind of like establish her own character, right? She establishes herself as this wonderful character who changes the community around her. It's a very hopeful show.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, Rashida Jones. I was like,
I also don't like Rashida Jones, but that's a different conversation that I don't want to have on.
I like her in Parks and Rec.
She's fine. She's fine. The
so good.
Stories, right? Stories are lots of little ideas.
Little bits kind of twisting around and forming new bits. So it's like when you have dreams and you have ideas, you should write them down because those little bits can all come together.
Yeah. Think about it like I like to think about it like food, right? All creativity is like food in some way because we consume media and we consume food.
Yep.
So yeah, like all those little bits are the spices. Okay. You need some salt and pepper. You need some garlic powder. You gotta have them some butter in there. So you need to collect as many little bits as you can, because when you do finally come across that rump roast, right, and you're like, this thing is gonna slap, like, you better have all the spices and potatoes and fixins in it. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Actually, I gave a presentation for these really a buddy sixth grader program that my university does. And I was giving it on animation and being like, these are all the different parts of animation, and kind of introducing it to them and saying like, oh, these are careers that you can have. Like, oh, if you're good at puzzles, you could be a storyboard artist. If you're technical minded, you could be a rigger, you know, kind of, et cetera, et cetera. And playing, you know, cute clips from movies and stuff. And I start out actually with this slide. And it's the sketch that Dan Povelmeyer and Povelmeyer and Swampy have. And it's,
I'm going to put this up on screen. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Ta-da!
It's the picture of Phineas and Ferb, the sketch that they did of him on the menu that they were eating at the restaurant they were at. And it became progressively into the beloved show. And then the picture from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
The first sketch of Aang.
Which
is unrecognizable. It's some Astro Boy crap. Right.
But like, you can see it and you're like, oh, I don't recognize that, but it is Aang. You know, like, yeah, that's Aang. That's probably Appa.
Momo.
No, but like, it kind of looks like more bison-y, I guess.
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
So it's like, I told them, I said, write down the ideas that you have, because you never know when the next one might be the next great TV show.
This image, the quote there says,
it's important to remind myself that the entire Avatar universe sprang from a single random sketch. And that's Brian. Brian Konietzko.
She went for it. This is okay. This is how Bale started. This is exactly how Bale started. Haley was putting on a jacket and putting on. We were getting ready to go out. It was really cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
She put on this big, fluffy coat
that
was just too big for her. She's a smaller woman, right? She's 5'1", I think.
Yeah.
And she put on this massive beanie with a big fluffy puffball on top, and she put on this big scarf, and then she stood there, kind of like this, and went, okay, I'm ready. And she put her glasses on like under all of it and just kind of like disappeared underneath. And I had this idea just like pop into my head of her just overbundled with this massive gun over her shoulder, walking over these fields, these misty or these foggy like green fields, taking care of sheep. And I was like, oh, and you live in a light. And I said this to her. I just started laughing. I was like, I just had this image of you taking care of these sheep while you live with this old eccentric guy who in a lighthouse. And that was the idea. It was just this funny joke that I had. And then we walked out into the misty morning to go, I think, to Barnes & Noble. And
you told me the idea.
I drew like a really, really rough sketch of it too.
Uh-huh. And then I did some pictures. And then I dressed up to like...
Yeah, I remember those.
To like, I had Caleb take the pictures for me.
Yeah.
To like kind of model out so I could, you know, draw these pictures and stuff. And I was like, well, she has all these sheep so that she can crochet her own clothes.
Obviously.
But she doesn't have dye, so the sheep have to be multicolored.
That's right, yeah.
And then I gave that to John. And then John was like, oh my gosh.
That's so perfect. And I did the idea.
You just made the world.
The idea weaved itself. The idea originally was like, oh, they're going to be these terrifying monsters that have destroyed the world and men can't look at them. If a man looks at it, they die, right? They go insane.
Because
that's very Lovecraft, right? I have Lovecraft right here. And I thought, well, it's funny that no woman ever goes insane in his books, right? So maybe they just never saw the monsters, or maybe they saw the monsters and it didn't faze them. And I said, okay, so the old man, originally they're going to be an old couple, right? I was like, this is how I imagine mm-hmm. Haley and I after the end of the world, mm-hmm. is that I'm an old man studying at home and I can't leave the house, otherwise I'll die. And you go out and you're just not fazed at all by these monsters and you're just like friggin' like nuking these things from a distance. you're just sniping these things from 300 yards.
Yeah.
And then you said these are all these multicolored sheep, and suddenly all these ideas began to weave together. Okay, so there are these monsters, and there are these mm-hmm. sheep, and there are these. So there has to be other community members, right? These sheep can't just be for them. So there are people on the mainland, and the mainland people want their resources. And I yeah. started spending a lot of time at the mall because I was setting up the Dead Wars. Right, which is our big world record game of D&D.
And that's how you came up with Arkham.
And it's how I came up with the city, the community of Arkham.
Because the Provo Mall is actually decrepit.
Yeah, the Provo Mall is falling apart. That thing, at any moment.
It smells like the inside of the play place.
Yeah, everywhere. But I started spending a lot of time there, and I thought, like, wouldn't it be crazy if they lived in a dead mall?
That's cool.
And they turned it into this massive. And so it starts with a sketch, and it mm-hmm. starts with a dumb idea, and it starts with a joke, and it just evolves into something. And look, we killed a lot of darlings. All right, we killed a lot of darlings on the way.
That's true. The concept art for that took five ever.
Holy crap, it did. Turned out great, though.
I like it.
Really, go read Shepherd Called Bales on shepherdcalledbales.com.
Pretty fun.
It looks good. I'm really yeah. happy with it. I'm on the last chapter. I'm on the last chapter right now.
Awesome. That's super great. John's coming up with this whole story, so we're only doing the first chapter of it, but he's pitched the rest of the story to me, which we will not tell you because it will be a whole story.
Yeah, it'll either be published as a book or I will post it on shepherdcalledbales.com and you can read it there.
It's so good. I really like the ending.
I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
I just wrote a scene. Everyone else has left Arkham, right? And they're all outside, and Jacob asks Renee. He's like, Renee, like, they're off doing something else.
Where's Bales?
No, like not where's Bales. He asks, like, hey, where's your gun? Oh. Like, in case we need to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote, Renee took too long to answer. And then dot, dot, dot. And then Bales is back at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there all by herself. And she's looking for any kind of resources. And so it goes, Renee took too long takes too long to answer. Dot, dot, dot. Some idiot left their gun.
Got wrecked, Renee.
Got wrecked, yeah. Renee. Renee has great
no,
benefits.
No, I love Renee.
Renee is so important to the story. But holy cow, I was like, Bales would roast Renee unintentionally. That's all she does.
Yeah, that's really funny. But even after they're friends.
Even after they're friends, she would totally be super just like, some idiot left their gun.
That's good. That's really good.
Do you have any other stories, pitches that you think we can share here without... I have one, but I've already talked about a few of them. I don't want to tell Danya's. Danya's is really good. We've talked about that before, too. How there's a few stories, even Neverworld, Marin pitched you kind of like the very basic premise, but even if someone wanted to rip all of that off, they wouldn't even come close to how cool Marin has turned Captain Hook, the changes we've made to Wendy.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I love it, love it, love it, love it. I absolutely adore...
We're not going to talk about Danya's.
We're not going to talk about Danya's because that story is simple enough that anybody could replicate it. But
it's so good.
It's so good, and I love it.
Do you remember my pitches? Oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. I wrote them down in one of my like 100 sketchbooks and pitched it to John at some point, and I can't find which sketchbook it's in. It's so frustrating.
I wrote most of them down. I wrote most of them down because when you were pitching these ideas to me, we still were kind of in this phase of I don't know whether or not we're going to work with each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote them all down to see, are these things that I could get excited about? What stories am I working on?
Love to find it again because there was a lot of things I don't remember.
The four, this is important. You got to remember, you got to write them down, you got to record it. This is the Marin has gracefully. Stop that. No, stop. Editing John will be upset. Don't bash your head into the mic. But I remember, so you have Danya's Neverworld,
Circadia.
Circadia, Got Magic.
We can't talk about that.
We can't talk about that. I really love Circadia. I think that we could actually kind of infuse a little bit of magic into that too. I was talking about it with Haley. Listen. I was talking about it with Haley, and she was like, "Okay, this is like a wacky world where everyone like sleeps during the day and like works all night, and you have this." And she's like, "But it's not actually magic. There's no actual magic in this world.
No magic. It's like Kiki's Delivery Service.
Not even a little bit.
The magic is that they don't sleep."
Okay, and so it's all going to sit in the aesthetic then. The aesthetic is really going to sell this thing.
Yes, because Kiki's Delivery Service, it's like, yeah, she has magic, but like she really doesn't. Like
she flies on a broom. That's like, it.
Yeah.
Her cat talks to her and no one else.
And then stops. Which I know is supposed to be like metaphorical for growing up or something,
but you got to read the book. You got to read the book. You're going to love the book.
Let me think for a second.
Marin's thinking face for the listening audience is just like her eyes as wide as possible and no expression on her face. Just. I'll give you 5 more seconds.
This isn't the spelling bee.
The fitness gram pacer test.
Oh gosh, that's so embarrassing. I've got
the fairy one.
My fairy.
I feel like we haven't actually fleshed that out. I think that fairies are such a great concept, and they don't actually get the love they deserve.
I can pitch that one, but it's not one of like the niche ideas that I added in my book, and I'm kind of mad about it.
I want to hit that. This will be our last thing we talk about then.
Okay.
Because fairies are awesome.
Fairies
are cool. Fairies are really, really popular in the media right now for the wrong reasons. Are you aware of this?
What? Like fairies as in like people who...
Like fae.
Like are weird...
Oh, you have no idea.
Weird like sexual kink
thing? Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Okay, fairy romance. I was like, oh no, do I have to bring this to you?
No.
Fairies in like fae are really, really big right now in the new genre of romanticy, which is just fantasy smut. Don't make that face. Don't do that. It's not a good thing. It's fantasy smut, all right? These are people who wanted to kiss Gimli, but Gimli was too good for them, and so they had to come up with fairies. But fairies are really popular right now.
Yeah. So this was back in high school, and we were walking around the lake.
I remember at La Sentara.
Uh-huh. That was next to La Sentara. And I was like, look, fairies are cool, but they all wear flowers. And flowers all die within like a day.
Right. So
if you like pluck the petals off of them.
Right.
Like completely shriveled.
We are talking about Tinkerbell Fairytopia.
Right. Yeah. And so we're like, okay, that's weird. So I'm like, what if there were fairies who like wore leather? And how do you get leather? You have to kill animals. and
then I was on board. And that was when I was like, oh, I like this idea.
So the idea for our main character is named Faye. She is a hunter-gatherer fairy. And she lives in the woods by herself. And she doesn't actually have any magic because she lives in a part of the forest that doesn't have pixie dust.
So there's the pixie dust fairies who are living wearing flowers and crap because they don't die.
And because the pixie dust like preserves the flowers.
Right. Meanwhile, like there's all the hunter gatherers who are like wood elves kind of a thing. And they're out there just like roughing it in the wilderness.
Right. You're killing squirrels and stuff. They're in like a normal. So this was the idea. So there's light magic. And that's where like the fairy tree is, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, all of this has to be remixed, so it's not too close.
Right.
But that's why it's still a work in progress. And then the hunter-gatherer fairies live about here. And then there's dark magic. And dark magic isn't bad magic. You know, it's just like...
No, it's just a magic at a much higher cost.
Right. It's kind of like magic based off of like gemstones versus magic based off of like trees. if that makes sense.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
So everything's like kind of purple.
All right. Yeah. No. I accept it.
Like drow and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, she's in her camp, and one day we kind of have a wicked situation happen where one day a dark fairy shows up, mm-hmm. and he's running away from the dark woods because the magic is running out there, and everything's turning like normal.
Oh, okay.
So kind of like in Narnia.
Yeah,
when
the last unicorn.
Right. So, yeah.
Magic is leaving the world. Yeah,
magic
okay.
is leaving. And so he's like, I need to go talk to the fairy queen and be like, we're out of magic. What's wrong with the tree?
Right.
Or, you know, something like that. Right.
Sure.
And she's like, I don't care. I've lived without magic my whole life. And mm-hmm. he's like, but if you go, maybe she could get your wings to work again. Then we have a Wizard of Oz situation.
Ah, okay. And so now we got a whole team.
Right, right. So they go together.
Got a talking squirrel.
She's definitely, like, the good fairies are definitely, like, not going to be good, obviously. They have to be snooty or mean or bad or something. But that's all I have in the story, so it's not fleshed out at all. But I'm like, that's kind of my twist of being like, these are all cool little ideas that I have. And like, let's put them all together. The main idea that's kind of cool is the hunter-gatherer fairy. So I'm trying to come up with a world where that is cool.
I think that it would be a lot of fun to work on this in our next creative corner. I would really like, because this isn't a story that I think that we're going to really pursue in great depth.
No. This is like a side drawing kind of a
sure
thing.
It's fun for a short story, it's fun for a it's cool. I wouldn't mind writing a short book about it. It sounds like a fun like children's novel,
like little Tinkerbell books.
Sure.
Basically,
but I would absolutely love to dive into this to a degree that we can like talk about what kind of magic is actually happening.
Very cool.
But it's all these ideas. It's wicked, it's it's very Wizard of Oz, it's very The Last Unicorn, it's very Tinkerbell.
But it has to be.
But if you steal enough of these, if you take enough of these ideas, it becomes something original. And so you have just been taking ideas for such a long time and hoarding them until it becomes a fun little recipe.
It's missing something, though. Like, it's missing, like, one other thing.
Yes.
So that's why we need to do a creative corner on it.
Yeah. And talk about, like, I think it is in the magic system. I think really talking about, like, what the magic does exactly will mm-hmm. kind of motivate what these characters want.
Yeah.
So, today, we have talked about gathering ideas.
Yep.
We've talked about remixing those ideas. Mm-hmm. We've talked about pitching those ideas. We haven't really talked about like the act of the pitch.
Right.
That's an entire other video worth of things to talk about. But this is kind of how you do that, right? Take notes. Write down your crazy dreams.
In the same place.
Yes. Make it easy to find.
So you don't lose your cool journal.
Run them past people. Look, us talking about these here has actually given us a chance to really see if they have legs. Mm. I think the fairy idea has legs. You actually thought that the nest with the pregnant ladies had legs.
Oh, I liked it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I would just love to watch a story with all pregnant women as a cast,
I think
you know?
It's fun, yeah.
And, you know, like male nurses like walking around being like, oh, would you like more Fiji water?
F your Fiji water.
I mean, one of them obviously has to go into labor in
obviously.
The climax.
Maybe multiple of them, right?
That would be very funny.
Just the sympathetic labor.
Oh, no.
Old lady's like, I go into labor when other people go into labor. Oh no. You can find Sibling Scribbles on YouTube, on Twitter, on Spotify. You can find my D&D writing on DriveThruRPG. You can find Marin's art and my writing on ShepherdCalledBales.com, where our webcomic Shepherd Called Bales is.
Woo-hoo.
And let's see, what else? Is there any other big, come May at the Provo City Center Mall, which we did craft talk a minute ago.
Oopsies.
We are having the next Dead Wars on May 3rd and May 4th.
Yep.
On May 3rd and 4th, we're going to have a booth. I know May 3rd is the one that I wrote. If you happen to be in town or if you want to fly in, then's the time to do it. So, thanks so much for listening.
Have a great day and stay creative.